Dear friends, welcome to the Deer Park Dharmacast, Dharma flowing from the ocean of peace. Today we bring you a presentation by Brother Phap Day on Beginning Anew, a practice taught by Thich Nhat Hanh to heal and make fresh our relationships with others. Our brother shares the steps of beginning anew, along with his understanding of the practice in light of his Christian roots. Remember, you can always find the Deer Park Dharmacast on Facebook, iTunes, and Twitter. We welcome Dharma sharings from our worldwide listeners on any of our online homes or by email at dpcastlove@gmail.com. Now, enjoy this moment to stop and look deeply.
Dear Thay and sisters and brothers, for those of you who are new here, you might notice that I begin by saying, Dear Thay, Thich Nhat Hanh, our teacher. I say that because I really feel deeply his presence. We who have begun to catch on to his teaching, for me, catching on to his teaching, his generosity, his love, his wisdom, which I experience as the wisdom of the Buddha. He's the continuation of the Buddha. And of all the men in the world I've known, he's my best experience of Jesus. I once said to Thay, 15, 16 years ago, before I was a monk, I said, Thay, I think you understand Jesus better than all my great theology teachers that I had in the 50s and 60s. And I had very good theology teachers. I said, you understand him better, I think. He simply said, that's because I have Jesus in my heart. And if you've read his book, Living Buddha, Living Christ, or Going Home, Jesus and Buddha as Brothers, that'll be clear to you. And for me, it's not just an idea. A lot of my understanding and knowledge of Jesus in the 50s was a lot of ideas. But with Thay and his wisdom, the ideas have become more of a reality, a lived experience. And in that, I feel very lucky. It was almost exactly 11 years ago that he ordained me a monk. 68 years old. Can't do that anymore. 50 years old is the ceiling. And when he named me Chen Phap Day, everybody laughed. What are they laughing at? Well, Day, as you know, means young brother. I was junior at that moment to a 15-year-old monk that was a foot shorter than me. But it wasn't until 2008 that I heard him say his reason why he did that, gave me that name. I had written an article, A Day in the Life of a Catholic Zen Monk, and it was translated into Vietnamese and was going into Vietnam, and so he was speaking internationally and explaining to the people in Vietnam the reason he gave me that name, Day, young brother, is because I used to be called Father. He's got a good sense of humor. Great love, great wisdom, and great humor. And he has been the manifestation of many good things to me. And today I want to share with you the good news of the Plum Village practice of beginning anew. Beginning anew. And Thay has very faithfully and creatively transmitted the Buddha's teaching and Jesus' teaching so that it comes alive. But I give Thay credit for here in the Plum Village community of him kind of inventing the practice, as we know it, of beginning anew. And this is a particularly important practice to me. My first time of experience, it was about 1998. 4 or 5 years before becoming a monk. And it takes me back that 50, 60 years ago, I and many of us Westerners and Catholics, growing up in a culture of kind of honor and shame and you aren't good enough and prone to doing wrong, kind of a culture of guilt and fear, we Catholics did have kind of an escape from that. We have what is called the sacrament of penance or confession, so that Catholics could go and talk to a priest and the priest would speak the words. And as I was a young priest, I was able to have that sense that I had the power, ego te absolvo a peccatis tuis, I absolve you from your sins. And we priests understood that we had the power of God. In fact, even now, my old Catholic friends and my blood brothers, they want to know if I've gone to confession to a priest. Because in their minds, still, the only ones on this earth that really have the power to forgive sins are the priests. And I used to think that until I discovered this practice, the Buddha's teaching. And but while I'm still back 50 years ago, I began to be aware that a lot of what people were coming in and confessing didn't need to have some proof that God let them off the hook. God wasn't offended. I was hearing Catholic husbands and dads, they'd come in and confess that they were just rather nasty and mean to their wife and short-tempered and scolding and unhelpful. And they would confess that to me, realizing that that wasn't very good. They wanted to get lifted of a sense of guilt for being that way. And in the old tradition, those of you who are old enough to remember, the priest would say, okay, you are forgiven. Now you go say 5 Our Fathers and 5 Hail Marys. And that's your penance. What I ended up doing in the last years as a young priest, I thought, that doesn't solve the problem. So I'd send this husband home for his penance to take his wife out to dinner and let her know a few reasons why he appreciates her. And I would send the wife home to the family meal, to the husband, and rather than 10 Our Fathers and Hail Marys, I'd suggest to her that maybe she bake a cake and celebrate their love and show some gratitude for being able to share life together. It wasn't until I came to the Plum Village practice that I began to see here's a very natural way of dealing with our mistakes and our meannesses, our shortcomings, our causes of unhappiness to one another. And that's our practice of beginning anew. And the first thing about the practice of beginning anew is before we start speaking to our beloved or our child or to a friend about what we regret that happened or what we were irritated about what they did or didn't do, before we mention any of the complaint or the upset, we water their flowers. Actually, this practice is we begin by doing this with ourselves first. And we look at what's been going on with us in our interactions, but also look at how we've been taking care of ourselves or not. A lot of us have a very highly developed sense of self-criticism. Many of us Catholics grew up with that, and we had a practice that reinforced self-criticism. We called it examination of conscience. And in the examination of conscience, your focus would be on, okay, in the past week or two, how have I done? What have I done wrong? That's more the emphasis. Examination of conscience is, what have I been doing wrong? And this practice of beginning anew does not start there. It starts with watering the flowers. What are some good things that I have been able to do or think or say this past week? What happinesses have I caused? So that we can kind of do a little watering of our own flowers and help pick ourselves up a bit. Now again, to go back when I was a kid, what I would hear at 8, 9, 10 years old was another common phrase. I feel like we did something good and have to announce it to mom and dad. I remember the time I was in a summer school catechism class and they had the last day picnic and races and I won the race. And I ran right over to my mother and I says, Mom, guess what? I won the race. Hers was a classic comeback. Don't get the big head. You old timers might have heard that. Don't get the big head. Just the opposite of watering the flowers. We had a very good family, and I have great happiness out of my family life and my relationships with Dad and Mom, but we were not long on watering the flowers. We were short on watering flowers and fairly quick to say, don't get the big head. Somehow survived that, thrived, and have gone. All my brothers and sisters have done very well. This practice of beginning anew requires that we do the Buddhist practice of what we call tapping into the energy of mindfulness, being mindful. Being mindful. And when we are mindful, for instance, when we meditate, we stop, we quiet down, we come home to ourselves, become mindful of the condition of our body, and then mindful of maybe something that's been upsetting us that's sitting with her, and with mindfulness to quietly look at the upset, maybe our anger, and as you've heard us, how Tai talks about taking the anger as a little child, holding our anger. You know, again, as a kid, it was the idea. Throw it away. and stomp it out. But here, hold our anger as an upset little child. And with this energy of mindfulness, gradually insights and clues come to us as to why is it that we are so caught up in this anger? I remember very early in one of my early stages here at the monastery, I was the work coordinator. I was a guy who had learned all my life to get things done. And as the work coordinator, we had a big project going, and we were redoing the circle garden and all sorts of fabulous new plantings and Korean grass and special turfs. And a brother came in with a load of dirt and dumped it, and I saw it as I disapproved, and I let him know and to get it out of here. And I did it in a scolding way, so scolding that he told me later, he said, I thought my dad was, giving me heck. But it wasn't until the next day in walking meditation, again, using the energy of mindfulness like you just did in the 9 o'clock walk, it was the next day as I was walking quietly, it popped up. The insight came up. Oh, the reason I got so angry with him is that I was scared. I had fear that what he was doing was going to ruin the project. And that was one of the first times in my life I began to see, oh, I think I've been a daredevil all my life, but down deep, I have to face up to the fact that there's a river of fear down there. And it gave me a chance to deal with that. So the mindfulness in walking led to the insight that yesterday's anger came out of fear. And it helped me then to also straighten that out with my brother. The energy of mindfulness. And that energy of mindfulness that we practice, I'm going to maybe become repetitious here, in that we have the energy of Thai. That's why I said, good morning, Thai. When we're living, we're taking in and experiencing the teaching of Thai, we are experiencing the teaching of mindfulness. And that's also the energy of the Buddha. So the energy of the Buddha that showed up 2,500 years ago continues in the teaching and in us. And we embody the energy. And for me, in the past few years, I began to catch on this energy of mindfulness. Well, I have to give Thay credit. Thay said, the energy of mindfulness is the energy of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is something, is an energy that we can experience. Now, many of us here, we had went through big sacramental experiences like confirmation and ordinations of this and that. But sometimes it was more of an idea than an experience. So to me today is the good news that we have this experience of the energy of mindfulness, the energy of the Holy Spirit, in our veins. And about this, I feel very lucky and very grateful. Another way of putting it is this energy of mindfulness, this practice of Buddhism, the Buddhist practice, has helped me go back and become a much better Catholic, a much better Christian. This practice of beginning anew is now a practice in which we will move with the energy of mindfulness, will unleash that energy in ourselves. And I hope that you too, like me, can have an experience. I remember it was the year 2000. I was a layman. My partner and I, we had formed a residential community of lay people like yourselves, and we lived together on the mountainside in Santa Barbara, which is such an idyllic place to be living. And there was about seven of us together on this beautiful property up above Santa Barbara, overlooking the city and the harbor and the islands next to the National Forest. And every other Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, we'd circle up in our living room and we'd do Beginning Anew. And I may be getting ahead of myself here, but what I want to say is this. My experience then of watching a 13-year-old girl acknowledge some of the things that she saw in her mother, watering her mother's flowers, was very inspiring. And I see that same capability in these youngsters that are here on the retreat as they're learning this practice and beginning to move with the energy of mindfulness. I'm going to maybe I'll go to the board here, and I want to at least title the three or four key points that I'd like you to know about. And then we're going to give you a demonstration. One, the first one is we water the flowers. Before anything else is said, whatever complaints we might have or heaviness we may have, we've got to find a way to identify two or three things about the other person in the engagement or ourselves that merits a compliment. Not flattery, for sure, not flattery. Not just saying things to kind of smooth things over, but genuine compliment. And like I just described, is that like watching that, hearing that teenage girl, the 13-year-old, water the flowers of her mother. And what happens when someone in a group waters the flowers, for instance, we monks, every 2 weeks, we also circle up and do Beginning Anew. And if we're doing it well, a monk will, or another person will in another setting, mention two or three things about this person that they really admired or were complimenting. Well, what happens is that a lot of the rest of us didn't know this happened. Didn't know. So what it did for me each time is to raise my appreciation of this person sitting over there or there or there, that I was hearing things that I didn't know about them that they did. And it's very not only refreshing, but it helps to develop more appreciation in the family. And this practice, by the way, is one then... can be done not just between myself and my lover, or myself and my daughter, or my wife, But it can also be done in the corporate team. There are in the world many corporate teams. In fact, the training of mindfulness has really become in throughout the world. But I remember 15 years ago, a German businessman who had a company, and his corporation broke the had the corporate members in teams, and they would do every 2 weeks a beginning anew as a team, the managers and their subordinates. After the watering of the flowers, sharing regrets. And by the way, you needn't take notes. I'm going to make available to you on the content of this sheet. It's got all the details, good enough details to work to do this so you can take it home, pull it out and look at it and kind of follow the instructions. And you can also go on the internet, and it's on our website, the practice of beginning anew. So there's going to be no excuse. Now, in sharing the regrets, that will require for some of us to learn some new skills too, because a regret can be of two kinds. One is something I did that I'm sorry about. That's going to be more simple, you know. But then there's would come after the sharing of a regret. And you can see how, if you've kind of set the stage and raised the mood a bit with somebody who sees that you do have some appreciation of them and respect, then to come forward with the negative or the dark side will be more acceptable and be easier. And it'll be important in sharing the regrets that we get good at not saying it in a way that we're blaming the person for me doing the regretful thing. And the third level is expressing a hurt. Now, in expressing a hurt, it's important that we not express the hurt as an accusation. Like when you didn't show up the other day and stranded me there, and spoiled the whole day for me. That's an accusation. We need to use kind of nonviolent communication so that we say, when I saw you, or when I heard you make that comment to me, I felt hurt. That's a way of nonviolent communication. So that when we express our hurt, we don't make it an attack and put them on trial. We rather express it as what happened here, what you appeared to do or say, left me feeling hurt, angry, sad. But we do it in a way that's nonviolent. And the fourth thing to do, and some of us have a good reason for this, we share a long-term difficulty. And so it's a way of saying, maybe you know, I have this tendency. I get, I lose my temper, and I start talking too fast, and I start blaming. This is an old habit. I've had it all my life. Or my anger and I'm still working at it. But I want you to know I'm having difficulty mastering it. And so it's letting our participants with us in the family know that we haven't forgotten about it. We're working on it. But please also, I'd appreciate your patience or your kind, creative support in helping me continue to get ahead of it. And thank you for listening. I hope this becomes for you a life-giving kind of experience. I am absolutely convinced that to do it brings life, brings freshness, and brings joy. Thank you.